Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee. I'm glad you joined me tonight. I have some stuff going on in my personal life that I would like to share with everybody tonight. It appears as though today there was a court date set for my grandson that we weren't aware of, and he was asked. They brought in the other team for one of the boys that's been in prison to change his probationary time. Now, we had been aware that they were going to do that, excuse me, but we were supposed to be notified. So when they got into court today, they actually tried to get his sentence in prison dropped and let him come out and just serve probation. So obviously, this was not what we planned on having happen, and we're shocked. And the fact that we weren't there was also, very difficult for us. So it pushed me to put something together today so that I stayed organized and read you some things that have taken place over the last 3 years and 5 months. And, of course, it's short because if I told you everything that's happened in that amount of time, just having to do with the court case, you'd be totally overwhelmed. But it will give us something to talk about and something to think about, and maybe something else that if enough of us talk about it, we can make some changes. We live in a world of mixed signals, confused emotions, a world where accidents happen, people get hurt, people hurt each other. Sometimes they love too much, sometimes not at all. Sometimes illness strikes. A family mourns the loss of a loved one. Too frequently these days, it's a child. In the middle of this chaos, we have our rules and our guidelines to separate us from the plants. The trouble with these long-established rules and guidelines is that the longer something exists, the easier it becomes to manipulate. Because I do not have the resources, nor do I have the education to change this fact, I still have my freedom of speech, something else that often gets manipulated. Since the attack on my grandson Michael in October of 2009, we have maintained a stand of trusting the system set up and operated by the people trained to do so. Well, after 5 or 6 judicial recusals, something I didn't even know about until all this happened, and I lost count, to be honest with you, as to how many actually recused themselves, but it was 5 or 6. We had a trial that lasted a week, 5 days. My family, not me, because I was not witness to anything at their home or at any point in time that meant anything in the court. So I was allowed to sit in for the entire trial, unlike the rest of my family members. But my family was literally badgered on the stand, including the victim, Michael, his mom, his dad, and his sister, and some of his childhood friends. An attempt to make this about blacks and whites was made. This was not a gang fight. Mike thought these boys were his friends. When that failed, an attempt to blame his dad for using the N-word on the young man who tried to steal his bicycle off of his front porch and tried to do combat with him in his own front yard. That didn't fly either. The verdict was delivered. And oh my God, out of the blue, a jurist says she misunderstood the judge. I was there, people. He looked at each and every juror and made sure there was nothing in between him, his eyes, and their eyes, and said, "This is the way it goes. Do you understand? Is there anything you need me to explain again?" He was it was like he was talking to five-year-olds. And that's how he addressed everybody, to make sure that they understood what he was asking of them and what their responsibilities were as a juror. So out of the blue, this juror says, "I misunderstood the judge." Another very professional and very focused judge steps down. So here we are back in court with a new judge who has to listen to transcripts and hear testimony from jurors as he ruled the previous judge should not have been asked to step down after he heard all of that. He was like, he shouldn't have had to step down. So I kind of rejoiced in that because I thought that's what was fair for him to do the sentencing, because he heard the whole case. But no, once somebody is recused or steps down, they can't step back up. Those are the rules. So the new judge tells us he believes, after hearing every argument and every summation and all the things that happen in a courtroom, that he, with the help of the accumulated information such as transcripts and tapes and everything, he could do the sentencing, that there didn't have to be a new trial. So we kind of rejoiced in that because it was very trying. We live 45 miles away from where the court is situated in Broward County. So at any rate, we were back and forth to this courtroom many times. Finally, he was able to rule. The young man in question for that scenario is 18 now and was sentenced to 11 years in prison without probation. Now, because he got no probation and we accepted that, then that means we have to go back and make an offer, or we will be requested to make an offer to the two boys who are already in prison and got very extensive probations. They should be offered an opportunity to have a lesser probation. Not sure why that's true, I guess in the sense of fairness, but anyway, that's the way it is. That's the way the rules are written. So today, unbeknownst to us, there was a hearing. And it couldn't take place because instead of going in and asking for less probation, which is something that we were prepared for, but not prepared for the hearing today because nobody notified us, they were asked to reappear next week. And, of course, this time we know about it, so we'll be there. This is for, as I said, another one of the young men. And, of course, when they make the presentation next week, I will have to assume that it's going to be about the probation, not about his actual prison sentence. So here we are in a time where people are starving, losing jobs left and right, businesses are going under. It was okay for a one-week trial, in essence. 5 days we've been there for the trial itself. To take 3 years and 5 months in our system because of the easy ability to manipulate the system. And that's all it was. An opportunity for, you know, there's lawyers and there's lawyers, there's judges and there's judges, there's moms and there's moms, there's dads and there's dads. I guess we all get that. Everybody's made from a different mold. But when you have manipulators in a system that's so easily pushed around to suit the scenario, I think it's time to start talking about how easy it is to change something without a good reason. I mean, I listened day after day, and I heard interpretation of old laws. I heard interpretation of what they read. It was like, you know, how many churches can you go to, people, and get a reevaluation of the Bible? It's all about how you feel about what somebody's saying to you, and then you make a decision. Oh, my God. We can't do it that way. It doesn't work like that. It can't work like that because it has to be what's good for one should be good for all. As much as I know that that doesn't even sound right to me, it sounds better than being able to make it whatever you want it to be or whatever you think suits the purpose in the moment. This is not good news for us because my grandson's already struggling, trying to figure out who he is now, who he's supposed to be, whether he's supposed to be a good kid or he's supposed to be a bad kid or he's supposed to be hurt or he's supposed to be angry. He's so confused he doesn't know which way's up. So now we're going to drag this around again. And for what? Plus the fact, as I said, in a world where we're really struggling for everything, and everything seems to be in such a sad state of affairs, and we're going to take this and drag it through again when there's other cases sitting here and there's kids being hurt and people being hurt and banks being robbed and this happening and that happening, people being shot in the streets and gang fights and everything, we're gonna waste some more time over manipulation. It's very upsetting for me. I wish I was wrong. I kept telling myself that I was just not seeing all the players in the picture, but the longer I observe, the more I realize that I'm not wrong, that I was right, and that something is awfully wrong with the way things are set up. I'm going to bring Shelley in and anybody else that wants to call in and talk about this. I welcome your call. Hi, Miss Shelley.
Hi, Reen. Yeah, that's very disappointing news. And
I know.
One of the things that I've noticed, and we've actually discussed this about other issues before, is that it is so hard, and it shouldn't be, but it's so hard for people to just take a stance. It's like they're afraid to make the decision, even if they're in a position where they're supposed to make the decision. It's like they always want to be politically correct, you know, and sometimes it's just black and white what the correct thing to do is. And I don't understand why people in a position of decision-making struggle with what they know is the correct decision because they're spending too much time on appearance. How is it going to affect their tenure? How is it going to affect this? How is it going to affect that? Instead of just looking at the case and making an appropriate decision for that case, they're allowing other things to come in there to influence their decision of going left or going right. And you see that in so many areas in life.
Well, there's no such, I mean, I understand that the world isn't black and white. I get that. I preach that, you know, that nothing is black and white. There's variables in everything that we do and everything that we talk about and every decision we make, every choice we make. There, you know, we're a very colorful world. It's not black and white. But when you set down rules and guidelines and regulations and things that are laws that are supposed to be observed and lived by, then that's different, in my opinion. In my opinion, a law is something that you don't break. I don't care whether you felt the need to or not. It's a law. You don't break it. So if you're talking about being in the court system, I saw more. I mean, it was like everybody in the courtroom were characters from Gumby.
I mean,
we can bend this way or we can bend that way, or you want to go this way or you want to go that way. And it was like, what are you talking about?
Well, it's
poured flammable liquid and lit a lighter to my grandson. Where are we having an issue with finding out the fact that somebody has to be responsible for this? Where's the issue there?
Exactly.
I don't get it. And now, even after the fact, after all those weeks of all those judges recusing themselves and everybody stepping down and all the media frenzy and all the people that were just so shocked and mortified that anybody could do this, Now, of course, they waited a long time, and of course, I'm sure that you know, there's a method to their madness with that as well, waiting this long, so that the horror of everything is not quite so fresh in everybody's minds. But this is something else that amazes me: the sense of fairness for the boys. Now, because one didn't get any probation, because he took a stand and went to trial and wouldn't take the offer. So the message we're putting out is what?
Yeah.
What message did we send out to another kid? You know, I mean, granted, they've been in jail since day one. I'm not taking away that. But they made a choice that day. Was it a choice that I think they'll ever be able to get over? No, it wasn't. And my heart aches for that. And you know it does. We've talked about it privately. It kills me to think that kids did something like this. But on the other hand, I look at my grandson, who's covered with scars from head to foot and inside and out. And now we're going to play games about how many months or how many this or how many that, to not do this or not do that. I mean, what are they thinking?
The bottom line is there has to be some equity. What happened to Michael, when you look at what happened to the victim, Michael literally has a lifetime sentence. He's not going to be able to spend a certain amount of time incarcerated and on probation and return to a normal life like nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have to live with those scars and the limitation of what those scars are creating for him and the residual pain from the scar tissue. And this is something that's going to affect him for his life, you know. So we rejoice at the fact that he survived, but it's not like he survived like he's just going back to his old life. That life is gone because of the choice these boys made. And there has to be a heavy-duty consequence for that. Otherwise, it would be nice if people just did the right thing because they did the right thing. But if that's not going to be it, then have them do the right thing because they were afraid of the consequence. And if the consequence isn't severe enough, then kids will just, you know, take whatever chance they want to act whatever way they want a particular day.
Mm-hmm.
There has
mm-hmm.
to be something there that says, you know, hey, you know, if I do this, I'm going to lose my freedom, or, you know, or there's going to be a consequence I don't want to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this message is absolutely unacceptable.
Well, and the other thing that we have to give some consideration to is that when you are 15 years old, you have a long life in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of an adult are you going to make if you get away with something like this, first of all, or if you watch other people play a system like a deck of cards and gamble with your life and win?
Right.
You're gonna, you see it all the time. You see people say, yeah, well, I got away with that. So the next time they want to do something, it's not quite so hard.
Exactly.
And the next time it's even less hard and less hard. I mean, if you read stories of like Billy the Kid, or, you know, our old outlaw time and everything. I mean, these were always, except for a few cases, I remember something about one of my kids did a report on Wild Wild West outlaws and stuff like that. Some of them were educated, but on the whole, most of them had no education, no family to speak of, and were just out there on their own and got away with what they could get away with. And that hasn't stopped.
Right.
That still exists. They're not walking around with boots on and riding a horse, but that still exists. That whole persona of a Billy the Kid still exists out there in the streets.
Yep. Yeah, they just want what they want, and they don't think of consequences, and they literally shoot from the hip.
Yeah.
You know, with their conduct.
Mm-hmm. So the only way, the system that's set up, the other problem, the other really big problem, and again, I was more educated about this, but I'm going to say what I have seen with my own eyes, and that is the fact that if you have a really, really good lawyer, which I have respect for, I don't want to take away from the good lawyers in this world, we need them, but if you have a really, really good lawyer and they dig deep enough, they can find out one day, somewhere in the world, there was a weak moment for a judge and he let something slip through. And that day set precedence for something else to happen later on down the road.
Wow.
If you can quote a case that shows exactly what you're trying to have done and go back and see where it was won, then in a lot of cases, they do that all the time. They do, Maria and the other lawyers did this constantly, brought up old cases where it was said that if somebody didn't have their hands actually in it and da-da-da-da-da, and then they'd say, yes, but this girl was just sitting in the car while her boyfriend robbed a bank and shot somebody, and she's doing life too. So,
wow.
They can dig up old sentences and old rulings and change, but the law didn't change with that ruling. You understand all this, right? You've been involved.
I understand exactly where you're coming from.
So what that means is that manipulation is almost not even a manipulative enough word.
I know. It's almost like SOP, because you see all these shows like Law and Order and shows like that on TV, and they're all true to life. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's fictional depictions, but they're true to life fictional depictions, and that they're showing things that actually do happen in the courthouses. And you see all the time on there how attorneys, with the plea bargains and all the different negotiations, and they try to get somebody off on this precedent or that precedent, and sometimes they throw, really utter nonsense into the court system to make their client look better and the victim look worse. You know,
yes.
like the victim had some contributing behavior that brought this on. I mean, it's ridiculous when you start flipping it on the victim. And I think that should be something that quite simply shouldn't be allowed. You know,
well, in the courtroom, when they had Mikey on the stand, first of all, the lawyer wasn't even on top enough of his game to call Mikey Mike. He called him the young man on trial. They called him by his name half the time.
Wow.
It was awful. And we were sitting there together and we would all cringe when that would happen. And then, of course, when the actual trial began and we had to hear testimony, the only one that was allowed in the courtroom was me because I wasn't a witness. But they said, he tried to – how do you try to convince a kid that he knew that he was going to be set on fire? So how did you go over there? That's what he tried to do.
Wow.
Well, why did you come out there? Weren't you home? You knew that they were. Did you know they were going to do that to you? And Mike said no. Mike said I knew there might be an altercation. Well, isn't that why you didn't go to school that day? Yeah. Well, then why did you go out looking for trouble? And Mike said no. I was worried about my friends. And he pinned Mike in the corner so bad that Mike just shouted out, they set me on fire.
Wow.
And that finally got him to quit badgering him. So now here we are, supposedly it's all done and over with, and now more games for what? And again, why tie up the system with this, and why allow it to tie up the system with this? I don't understand.
How is this going to... I'm not completely understanding what it is that they're trying to do. The one boy sentence is what, and they're trying to change it to what? Tell us what they're trying to make it go from and to.
They sentenced the two boys that actually did the act to 10 and 11 years, I think it was, in prison with 19 and 20 months probation, or 20 years probation. So that it all came out to like 30 years for both of them. One got, the one that lit the lighter got like 10 years, and the boy that poured the flammable liquid got 9 years. And then when the last one, who was the one who planned everything, he got 11 years in prison with no probation. So when he got no probation, then that meant that we might have to, according to the state attorney's office and according to the lawyers that were helping Mike and Valerie, then that meant we might have to make some kind of a good gesture to the boys that got the long, the 20-year and the 19-year probation, and maybe take some of their probationary period time off. And Mike and Valerie both said, okay, what's the difference between, you know, 20 years or 15 years? That's a god-awful long time. They'll be in their 40s. So we were like, okay, if that's going to make this over and done with, let's make this over and done with. But now, when they came to do the presentation today, obviously the reason everybody wasn't given a heads up was so we wouldn't be there so they could buy more time, more manipulation. Right. So when they go in today, they actually say, you know, we're here to see if we can get this young man released from prison and just let him serve out his probationary time on the outside.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So the district attorney,
they want to do away with his probation. They want to do away with his jail time.
Yes, yes. And so the state attorney said, no, 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 that's not even been put on the table. There's no way we're going to even let that even come before the judge, et cetera, et cetera. And the victim's family wasn't notified until late last night, so they couldn't be here. So we have to reschedule. So we go back again next Wednesday, and hopefully that part of the scenario will be straightened out. But who knows? Who knows? It seems to me like it's a cut and dried thing, you know.
So how did you find out about this? Who told you?
Well, the Valerie's lawyer called last night at 8 o'clock and said he had just gotten a call from the state attorney's office saying that they're going to meet at 8:30 this morning, and Valerie was livid. And so she called me this morning, and she said, Mom, I cannot believe that they did this to us again, you know, because they had done it before. And I said, well, maybe it's some kind of a ploy, you know, because maybe they aren't ready, and they figured if they got in there one time, and, you know, because that's what they do. They play it. I'm telling you, manipulation isn't even a good enough word for the kind of manipulation that you witness.
Yeah, they really play the system.
To the point of no return, and that's what I mean. So now, you know, when you talk about a template, you've been a mechanic, you've even drawn templates for people. A template is to show everybody how the core is supposed to be done, right?
Right.
So if our court template is set, then this much manipulation shouldn't be so rampant. It just shouldn't be. There still should be some places where it's just a simple, yeah, that's fine, or absolutely not. You know?
Yeah.
that's what throws me, and that's what concerns me, because it means that, well, we all know that we've watched court cases on television in the last 30 years that were manipulated, and we watched.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but you kind of think that that's like, you know, like dramatic TV. You know, you kind of think, well, that wouldn't really happen, you know. But of course it does. That was really a young woman, and that was really a young man that got killed in that one scenario, and somebody had to answer for it, and nobody did. But now somebody did for next to nothing. Isn't that amusing?
Wow.
Right?
I mean, I see stuff like this with other types of cases, where people manipulate the system, and where you know, you have two parties that make an agreement, and then they get up in front of the judge, and the attorney for the other side all of a sudden throws out something that you weren't even prepared for, and here you thought you had an agreement, and now all of a sudden some other something else totally unrelated is being presented, and you're completely caught off guard. And I've seen things like that play out with a couple other types of court cases, you know, for some relatives of mine recently. And the one side is doing everything right, following the judge's order. The other side is not, completely ignoring the judge's orders. And they've been to court now 5 times in this particular case. And he keeps making... he's making statements, I'm going to hold you in contempt if you don't do this, 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 and this. Then we come to another court case. The other party didn't do the things that were said. And then the judge goes, well, if you don't do this by this date, and he's done it like 5 times. So why should this person ever do anything the judge asks? Because he's never once held him in contempt of court. But he's threatened to be on 5 different occasions. And again, the courthouse is, you know, again, it's in Broward County.
Overburdened,
yeah. Yeah, the people that are affected by this are up in West Palm Beach. So here they have that, like, 40-45 mile an hour trip also. And then they go, but they're doing everything the judge says, and the judge keeps making decisions on behalf of the other side that's doing such unethical behavior and then just getting away with it, you know. Because the attorney throws all kinds of nonsense out there. It's really and truly nonsense, and it distracts the judge. And then the judge doesn't even remember something that he said from the last time. You know, our attorney tries to speak up and say, well, wait a minute, last hearing you said blah, 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 and then he gets annoyed with our attorney and says, don't tell me what I say. So unfortunately, it's an overburdened system. You have a lot of judges that should probably retire, which is something that I've seen, because they're more into just putting in their time so they can retire, and they want things easy and stressless. And I've seen it on 2 different cases in the last year or so. You know, and it's our judicial system really needs an overhauling, no doubt about it.
Well, I think it's like a lot of times, and I may be saying this out of school, but I'm going to say it anyway. A lot of times, judges, because they're sitting up there, just like our president, they're sitting up there on the bench, and the scrutiny that they're put under is tremendous. So I think a lot of times, as much as I hate to say this, they make decisions that they may not even agree with because of all the scrutiny that they're under.
Right.
And it's really scary, but it's true. So it makes you wonder if there's anything anymore that is for true, if there's anything anymore that is honest and good in the way it's supposed to be. I met some amazing people in the court system that fought really hard for Michael. The state attorney was, she's the assistant state attorney, but she was awesome, and she was always on her game and everything. But they have to see it too. They're right there immersed in it. So, but something is wrong when things like this can be turned around to this degree, and no ending in sight, no ability to say, well, we're going to do it this way, and then it's done. Because it's like, you know, it's like the turkey's frozen. It's never going to get cooked all the way through. I don't know what made me think of that. But anyway, I feel like, you know, this next Wednesday, and of course, we have been given the opportunity to talk, and I have talked, and I have made it very clear the fact that we are not about the punishment of these three boys, and I can't make that any clearer than what I have always done. But it is about the messages, because there's a lot of kids out there. There's a lot of young people out there that watch and look and listen, and they know what's going on. And, geez, if you want to make it better, you have to work at making it better. You can't just let it go by your window and not do anything about it. You just can't. That's why I started this radio show. That's why I've taken all the other stands I've ever taken in my life. If I'm going to bitch about it, I should be able to do something about it. So, you know, I pulled my own family in to take care of them and look after them, because life is not so easy out there. So when they're struggling, I bring them in. A lot of people actually disrespect me for that, if you can believe that, in this world of unkindness. I've had people say to me, your kids are going to be your demise. And I say, that very well could be, but they're my kids. They're my family. They belong to me, and I take care of what belongs to me. And I'm sorry. I can be, you know, that can be right or wrong, and I'm not going to say which one it is, because I don't care what other people think about that. For me, it's right. I'm doing what I think I should be doing. And yet, when I send a message out there, even to my own kids, I lay it on the line. This is what it is. It doesn't mean I condone the mistakes you make. It just means that you're not going to get rid of me by being, you know, somebody that I don't want you to be, because I love you anyway.
Exactly.
So when we put a message out there in the court system that this doesn't have anything to do with you as an individual, you're still a good person, God put you here for a reason. There might be something really wonderful you're supposed to do in this lifetime, but you've got to get your act together. You've got to get your stuff on straight and do it so that you're not hurting anybody else. And a crime that's one of violence and one that inflicts pain on another person has to be punishable by something very severe. So it makes a statement that says another person's life is not yours to take. Another person's pain is not yours to give. I don't care what the situation is, what the scenario is, nothing. You are not, nobody is enabled to hurt somebody else, regardless of who they are, what they are, or where they are.
Right, right.
And if we don't keep that out there and we don't practice that in our system, then it's going to be, you know, like I always told all my kids, read Lord of the Pigs and you'll understand, or Lord of the Flies, because you'll understand why there has to be a boss.
Yep. Yeah, that was an amazing story.
Mm-hmm.
This is something you learned earlier in the week, is that you have, and it goes with the judges also, but you have school officials out there making decisions based on monetary issues and grants that they're trying to get to the school, instead of decisions based on educating children and creating a safe environment for children to come and get educated. That's what school is for. It's not so, you know, schools should be, like we talked, all schools should have the same programs, whether they're, you know, whether their average is A or B plus or something like that, you know. It shouldn't be predicated on that. And every child deserves to have a safe environment to go to and have the same programs available to them so that they can get an education so they can succeed in life. And here you have judges, again, making decisions instead of on the merits of the case, on the facts of the case, they're making decisions based on public scrutiny of the decision they're going to make, instead of just making the decision that's appropriate for that case. And this is what we were talking about. That's the comment I was making earlier, is that you have too many people in decision-making roles who make decisions not based on the reason that they're supposed to be making the decision. They bring other stuff into it that shouldn't even come into play shouldn't be considered, and yet they consider all this political stuff, financial stuff. And it's sad affairs.
Well, and in the meantime, while you're setting out that kind of an example, what you're talking about is just downhill trickle.
Yep.
It's just downhill trickle. It's okay, so, you know, I mean, everything that we set up is, you know, I set it up here, and then I expect, you know, this one to do this, and that one to do that, and that one to do that as it goes. It's not about hierarchy. It's about just, you know, having the top of the pile so that you can say, okay, now you want me to be in charge? I'll be in charge. So let's do it this way. Isn't that what we do? Don't we put people in those seats?
Exactly.
Don't we say, okay, you know, we've looked over everything but your birth certificate, so you can be president now, and we want you to be totally in charge. But then, you know, then do we really put them in charge? Not really. And do we let all the bureaucracy and the manipulation take place in every single aspect of everything we do? Yes, we do.
That's right.
But this, like I said earlier today, this is too close to what all the problems are coming from. This is too close to all of the teen violence, to suicide with young people, to the scarred young adults that I've met today that are in their 20s and don't know whether they're coming or going. As you can all hear, I still have my cold. But it's all about, you know, it's all about doing something that's right and sticking to that, sticking to it and making up, not as we go along. This isn't, you know, a friendly game of Scrabble. This is life. And once we lay down some laws, we should be sticking by them. And if they're no longer stickable, then we have to rewrite them.
Well, I mean, have you ever seen the law books? I mean, they go on for volume after volume after volume.
Mm-hmm.
If the laws were just based on common sense and morality, it should be a couple of pages. I mean, if you do this, it's wrong, then you get penalized. If you do that, it's wrong, and you penalize.
Well, we could always go back to the Ten Commandments, but that even says that you can't go to somebody else's church, which is kind of silly. So even the Ten Commandments have become antiquated.
I know, but the Ten Commandments are also not, you know, they've, as it come down to the thousands of years, if you read the original Ten Commandments, they were quite spiritual,
mm-hmm.
and they were very, very uplifting and very higher-minded.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't really say you can't go to somebody else's church. So that's something that's been manipulated. When you talk about manipulation, there's been some manipulation there as well.
Well, but it's like everything else. I bet that's the only Ten Commandments I've ever read that say that you can't go into another's house of God or something like that. So but other than that, I think the Ten Commandments are pretty cut and dried, you know.
Yep.
You don't abuse your parents, you don't abuse your wife, you don't sleep with the next door neighbor's wife or husband, pretty cut and dried. You don't steal from each other. All things sound pretty good to me. But
yeah.
My point is, though, is that, again, if you make them and stick to them, it's just like raising kids. You know, we talked about this a lot of times. Punishing a kid is like punishing yourself. So you got to be ready to do that. You tell a kid he's grounded. My David used to say, I know I'm in trouble. Am I on groundation? For years, everybody in my house thought groundation was really a word, because that's what he'd say. I'm on groundation. And did it stop him from doing anything stupid all of his life? No, it didn't. You know, I am the first one to tell you. And you still, though, have to instill the right and wrong, because we all make our own choices, like I said earlier. But if you don't know the difference between right and wrong, then it's even more dangerous, because one thing is okay to do, one thing is not okay to do, purely and simply. And if you openly go into doing something wrong, then you pay your dues. And if every time you do something wrong, nobody makes you pay your dues, the wrong things you do get deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And if you've got that kind of a personality, the world's in trouble because you're in it.
Right. And if there's people that actually will stretch the limit, it almost becomes a challenge for them, and they'll keep stretching the limit of their behavior until they get somebody to react. It almost becomes a game to them, and
mm-hmm.
they'll just accelerate their bad behavior until somebody takes a stand against them. And it's some people actually do it for attention. You know, and if they're not getting attention, they're going to step it up.
I don't know. I agree with that. I think that if we all talk about this and talk about it to everybody we know, you know, in everybody's family, they have different, a lot of people have got police in their family or state troopers in their family or judges or lawyers or people need to understand that some of these things, just because they're not affecting you in the moment, they still need to be looked at and discussed. You can't just pretend like they don't exist because they're not affecting you in the moment. I guess that's
right.
One of the reasons that we talk. And that's one of the reasons why we need a show like this, is because some of these things don't get talked about unless they pertain to you.
Right.
And I understand that, but without enough voices, you don't get heard. I have somebody who's called in. Let me let them in, Shel.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello, Renee. Hi, Shelly. It's Linda.
Hi, Miss Linda. How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
We're good. We're good. It's nice to hear your voice.
You too, all scratchy and...
Yes, well, you know, I've got to give up that yodeling in the middle of the night. That's what it is.
Yeah, the neighbors must be getting it too, right? sorry to hear about the court case. Oh, my goodness, what a nightmare. Oh, la, la.
Well, you know, it's turned into a very long, drawn-out, kind of like a nightmare saga.
Yeah.
And I'm upset for my kids because it's a lot tougher on them than anybody really understands, I think.
Oh.
Because if you've never been in that place, you're like, what's the big deal? You know,
yeah.
You just go and say the truth and you walk out. But, their truth on several occasions, that also got manipulated and turned into something that it wasn't. And it was really hard to watch them all be interrogated. We thought we might have to do another trial, I was like, you know, okay, you guys think I'm a bitch now. Hang on to your seats, because if you make us go through another trial, and everybody was like, well, you're not like that at all. And I said, that's because I believe I'm doing what we're supposed to be doing. But if this results in another trial, that would be totally uncalled for, unnecessary, and cruel and unusual treatment to a kid that got
for
on
you.
Fire.
You have to defend yourself. I mean, through all these years, this is what going on for, 3-4 years now, and this has been a voice.
Mm-hmm.
You've been a voice of against all bullying, and there's so many things that have come forward and a lot of people being involved. You have on the forefront of kids in schools and the way they treat each other.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a diff. Is there change in that, or is it getting a little better? Do you find, or?
Well, I think there are some steps going in the right direction. Earlier this week, we talked about a 14-year-old girl who is fighting the system, trying to have an after-school activity be a gay and straight alliance, and they're fighting her on it. So we all signed a petition and. If a 14-year-old knows that they all need to get along, for God's sakes. What's the matter with the 40-year-old?
Mm-hmm.
And she's not trying to do any, she's not trying to promote being homosexual. She's not trying to promote anything other than forming an alliance between her and all the other kids that go to school with her.
Right.
That don't understand her life choices. And I think that's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always some smart kids out there who stand up and speak and get a few things done as well and create bridges and connections and things. So I guess,
and
like
that's
you,
what,
say, you just have to keep talking about it. It just has to be out there constantly, and what you're doing on the radio is awesome. And the more
you.
That it's out there constantly, I mean, and all throughout our lives, we just constantly need reminders on how to act and how to not be an idiot and be kind to everybody, but or positive, whatever it is, or, you know, whatever it is. But we constantly need reminders. I think it's the nature of our brains and our hearts that we just constantly need reminders. And
Well, Miss Linda, of all the people I've known in my entire life, which is a lot of people, you have to be one of the sweetest, genuinely sweetest and kindest women I've ever known.
Oh, my goodness. Well, ditto.
Well, that's true. That's true.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
Shelly seconds that emotion.
thank you.
So, and I am very pleased that all the way from Canada I hear from you every now and then. That's I just had four people message me on Facebook. I live too far away. They live in upstate New York, and I'm like, it's not a long distance call. It's just call the number and you can hear everything.
Yeah.
So, that's why I'm making sure everybody understands that you're calling me from Canada. I have another lady that I'm so dying to get on the radio. She's a vegan, and I met her right shortly after Mike got burnt because she contacted me at Hippocrates. And her little girls, a neighbor or babysitter or something, put lice shampoo on her little girl's head. And she had the shampoo on her head, and she leaned over a candle and blew it out, and it ignited her hair.
I heard about that. Oh, my
gosh. Yes. And her name is Nicola, and Jody is her little girl's name, and they live in Ireland. And we have tried a couple different ways. I have to get more technical, though, so she doesn't have to talk to me in the middle of the night and vice versa, because we're really a long time apart. But I'd like to be able to tape a show with her at a time that's convenient with her and then play it one night. There just wouldn't be able to be any call-ins. You know, everybody would just have to listen. But she's been on quite a journey because her little girl's face, I posted her face on my Facebook page a couple times, and she's been talking to a doctor who would like to do some stem cell work because Jody's face is scarred all over her forehead and down. It's like the right side of her cheek and everything. But I keep telling Nicola, you know, as she grows, she's very young, as she grows, a lot of that will subside. And, of course, the magnesium oil, and she does a lot of her own natural treatments and everything. But they have no money, so, you know, that's always an issue. And but I'd love to have her on the show, and that's all the way from Ireland. So anything's possible with today's technology. But this is a worldwide thing. This is a worldwide epidemic of unkindness, and it stems from many, many places, but it should be stopping in the judicial system.
Right.
It should be coming to an end there.
It's just a big, like politics, it's so big. It's just so big, and it can be corrupt. It can be. They try to be just, but I know it's not always just. The justice isn't.
Well, I don't even know any. I mean, corrupt immediately makes me think of like cloak and dagger kind of thing. And I saw a lot of hardworking people that work from dusk until or from dawn until dusk, you know. And I formed a different opinion about them in regard to that. I always thought, oh, judges don't have time because they only work 6 hours. Well, the two judges I met worked from 7 o'clock in the morning until sometimes 9 o'clock at night when you couldn't even get out of the parking garage.
Yeah.
So they were amazing, and so were the people that work for the state attorney's office and everything. I mean, they're just, but on the same token, you know, they need some help too, because they're caught in, you know, it's like jumping out of a boat when you know you're close to the edge. You know, you're all in there together, and everybody's afraid to jump out.
Yeah, it's a big system. So all we can do is do our best and try to help the people that we can touch around us in our little area. And if we all were able to help people that we were in our reachable, touchable area, then that means we'd all be able to reach everybody, right?
Well, and I said that tonight too, and that, you know, I'm a believer of that.
Mm-hmm.
I matter of fact, we had a wonderful talk with Susie Ralston, and we talked about weight and how you get picked on and everything. And I said, you know, the way I've always felt, if you don't like me because I'm fat, you're missing the best friend you ever had.
And Susie
said,
okay.
I'll know that.
I love it.
Well, great what you're doing, and great to hear you. Can't get on every night, it seems, but I saw Valerie posted today. There was a big, important thing that just happened for you guys.
Well, we will know next Wednesday more, because we go back to court next Wednesday. You didn't get on soon enough to hear what I read to everyone.
Yeah, around 20, right.
Yeah. So, but we go back to court Wednesday. So by Wednesday evening, I'll have more to share with everybody. So maybe you could take time and listen that night if you have a few moments. And please give my love to your family and Mr. Dominic. Tell him
probably hears you right now.
Good. Okay. I think of him often, and his smiley face, and I'm sitting here looking at my little pencil holder that's chiseled out of wood that my grandson keeps trying to steal from me all the time. So I think of both of you a lot and miss you both. And it's been interesting having the talk show, because I have been able to hear from people that I haven't talked to in a while, and I have been able to make some friends with some other people, and I've gotten really wonderful positive comments, of course, on Facebook and through the emails and everything. But I think it's time, and I hope that people that listen just work where Linda just said to work, just in your own immediate little nucleus. If we all did that, imagine if everybody got up every morning and did the very best they could do, every person, how perfect would that be?
Yeah.
Right.
And that's doable.
Well,
exactly. That's not even a big job.
Yeah,
that's not even
to be doable,
a big job.
But we still struggle a bit. But
I know. But just
imagine. You know, a little bit more effort, I guess. Huh?
Well, and a little bit more deciding that it'll make a difference, because that's how we talk ourselves out of it. Who cares if I did this today, or who cares if I did that today? Trust me, if it's something nice, somebody cared.
Yeah.
Somebody cared. And if you do something nice, even if you don't see any kind of wonderful lights flashing and balloons going up in the air, that doesn't mean they didn't do that for somebody because of you.
You know, sometimes you never know.
That's right. That's the absolute truth. Absolute truth. You never know whose heart you touch, because not everybody is capable of walking up and saying, oh my God, I heard you and it was so wonderful and thank you, you changed my whole day. I learned that waiting on table. Old people who didn't have anybody to come talk to every morning, I remembered their name, remembered that they wanted sweet and low in their coffee, and you thought that I made the whole highlight of their day, and what did that take from me? Absolutely nothing. So it doesn't really matter how small the nice thing is. It's just the fact that it's a nice thing.
That's true. It can be very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I love you girls.
Cheers.
Thank you. And we will talk again tomorrow night, Miss Shelley, if we both still have voices.
Yeah, really. it was good hearing you, Linda, and good night, Reen. I love you both.
You
good
too,
night,
Shelley.
Honey.
Good night. Thanks for doing this. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Good night, Shelley. From my heart to yours, everybody, this is Reenie. Good night and God bless. Bye-bye.